In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. From our Lord's own lips, we learn that the greatest of the commandments is to love God above all things. Very easy thing to say, isn't it? Love God above all things. But what does it mean? How do we do it? What does it look like when we love God above all things? Well, I think the first step to know what it means to love God above all things is to look at what precedes it. What does it look like? What does it mean for God to love us? Because God's love for us precedes our love for Him. Well, first of all, God created us. Not just Adam and Eve, but each and every human being is created by God in his or her mother's womb. God keeps us in existence. So if you ever doubt whether God loves you or not, take a look in the mirror. As long as you can see someone, God loves you. Because if ever God stopped loving you, there wouldn't even be a pile of dust. There wouldn't even be a smudge on the ground. There would simply be nothing. And God blesses us with a beautiful and good creation for which we serve as stewards. If that were not enough, God suffered for us. He died for us, and He rose from the dead for us. We know those words from the third chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. For so God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son. And those other words from the Gospel according to St. John. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for that of his friends. And if that were still not enough, God continuously gives himself to us through his church and through her sacraments. We heard in today's gospel how the risen Christ, when he appeared to the disciples, breathed upon the apostles and told them to receive the Holy Spirit, so that they could act in his name to forgive sins. Pope Francis recently said that Jesus is the symbol of God's mercy. I would go farther and say that Jesus is God's mercy. He's not just a symbol of it, he is God's mercy incarnate, God's love incarnate. And if you want to know what God's love looks like, look above the tabernacle and look at the crucifix. That's why we have crucifixes, to remind ourselves of the depth of God's love for us. So how do we reflect that love back? Again, we look to the scripture readings for today. When we love God, we keep His commandments. We have been made children of God by adoption. We have been given the gift of faith, and we are to live out that faith in obedience. Now, many people, when they hear the word commandment, they go, oh no, there he is trying to make us do stuff again. You don't have much to complain about. Our Jewish fathers and mothers in the faith, they had to remember over 600 commandments. The commandments given to us by Christ are not burdensome. They help us to be truly human. They help us to be sons and daughters of God. They help us on our path to heaven. And moreover, God is patient and merciful with us. Today is, of course, Divine Mercy Sunday. And we would do well to reflect upon God's mercy. God allows our sins to be forgiven. In fact, God desires to forgive our sins. He forgave even the sin of Thomas, his lack of belief. Now, that doesn't say that Jesus didn't twist Thomas around a little bit. Hey, Thomas, come over here. Put your fingers in the wounds. Put your hand in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. I know what you said. Don't do it. My Lord and my God. You know, we often think of Thomas as doubting Thomas, Well, he was doubting Thomas, but not anymore. He's believing Thomas. If God can forgive that, he can forgive anything. He forgave Peter's denial. God desires to forgive us if only we repent. Now, that's the big if. He won't just forgive us without us doing anything. We have to accept that forgiveness through repentance. We are told that God's mercy is like an ocean. It is inexhaustible. Doesn't matter how many times we need it, it's there for us. Now, we shouldn't confuse that with laxity. You know, it's not as if God doesn't care what we do, that he'll forgive us no matter what, you know, whether we repent or not. No. God respects us enough to respect our choices, even when they are bad. But he constantly calls us to reform and to repent. And up to death, we are able to reform and repent. We know during this time of the year, especially during this time of the year, that Christ conquers. What does Christ conquer? He conquers the world, the flesh, and the devil. And each believer in Christ can, with his grace, conquer those same things within his own life, the world, the flesh, and the devil, so that we may follow Christ into life everlasting, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.